So we have Shmuel Shapiro over here.
For him?
No, we finished the Purim actually. I see you like that Purim already. Top. Yeah. Shmuel was very quiet, everyone knows. Very silent, very, never spoke up. Never. Besides Purim. But when it came to things which are against Hashem, he was like fire. He couldn't stand it. Then he spoke. Here's a story. When it came, not stam against Hashem, when it came to things which are, especially matters of Kedusha, it was Shabbos Chanukah, in the year Tavshin Yud Zayin. If you could close the door, please. Tavshin Yud Zayin, which is 1957. You were around there?
Me?
Yeah, you were around. Sure. You also around? You were a few years old. Yeah. 4 or 5 years old.
Yeah. I was 10.
You're a big boy already. My father, I think, was born in 1957. Touch in Zion, 1957. You were 10 also? I was 7. So? It's 7 years. It's 56 years ago. Yeah, so my father's there, his age. Uh-huh. Top. Yeah. So they went to Meron, Reb Shmuel with a bunch of guys, and also Reb Asher Zadig Margelius, the big tzaddik, also with them, and Reb Meir Shterem, the Rav of Meron, until today, you have a picture of him here. He's a very old man today, he's been 50 years, Meron. Over 50 years, 60 years. Anyways, so when people came, suddenly came to the tzion, Reb Meir Shterem, the rabbi of the city, of the Meron city, the little kfar, with a few people, and they said that in the Barim used to be, the Moshav was just the Barim. Like if you go now into Meron, you make a right, that was Meron, and on the top of the hill on the left was the Tzion, and there was no connection between the two. That was one thing, that was another. Anyways, in the Matnas, down on the Barim, you know what the Matnas is? The community center, there's a party going on, a Hanukkah party, and there's mixed in dancing, and in those days, today's not so much like that, a little bit, maybe a little bit better. In those days, the level of the religiousness of people there wasn't so high. So Shmuel with the other guys, they decided to go down and say that it's not allowed. To tell them asu.
So they could hear the music from
there. No. The Rav of the Yishuv came up and said that this is what's going on in the Yishuv. The Rav of the place went up to the Tzion and told them this is what's going on. So they decided to go down and they start saying that it's not okay. So Rav Asher Zedek Margolius, this big tzaddik, told Rav Shmuel, listen, they might hit you. There's people that were very violent, they might hit you. But Shmuel didn't hear that. He doesn't care what they say. He heard it, but he didn't pay attention. He never saw his body as Hashem. What do you mean? Hashem is here. Hashem is. He went down and he saw what's going on. People in the party, they saw these guys coming towards them. They understood exactly what's going to be. So they lock the doors on the inside. Chas v'shalom, they don't bother them. Fine. Shmuel, the doors are closed. So he climbed in through the window. And he went in with his eyes closed. Because he doesn't want to see all the naked women there. And he started screaming, Asu! Asu! So the violent people of the group, they saw this blind guy coming in. So they grabbed him and started beating him up.
No.
Yeah. But beating up never bothered him. He needs to say what Asu is. And he starts screaming, Asu! Asu! Immediately they figure out that they can't really beat his body because he's screaming and screaming. And they stop the party. This was Shmuel. A few years after this story happened, the guy who picked up his hand to hit Shmuel died in a very horrible car accident. and all the people of the place, and especially his family, they said it's probably because he hit the tzaddik. Now, not always. Shmuel, he wasn't moved by emotion when he did these things. He was moved by what needs to do. Not by emotions, because by emotions you go to wrong places. Right? Because they're hitting people and doing the wrong thing. He was moved by the Torah. The Torah says, Zel. That's a law. So, another story that shows that side of who he was. In 1967, when they released the Kotel, and a lot of redeemed the Kotel and a lot of other areas in Eretz Yisrael, yeah, so they started going back again to the Kotel at midnight and doing Tikkun Chatzos over there. They realized that the stake put kupot, stuck of pushkas, of Misal Datot, the religious
ministry
of religion. It doesn't exist today in the Knesset, but it was then. So some of the guys came and they started breaking the thing and taking the money for other things, for Kedusha things, not for themselves. He said, no, the money that was given here, it doesn't go to the state. It's a holy place. It goes to this place, a holy place. Because especially at the day that people give the money here, they don't know where the money is going to. They don't know that it's not going here. When Rav Shmuel saw this, Rav Shmuel didn't agree. He said, just so you don't say that I'm not demonstrating against what you're doing, I'm telling you, I still do this. Someone who's stealing, he causes it himself. And if he's stealing here, he's going to go steal somewhere else. So you see, even though he was against the state and everything, but stealing, you don't do things from emotions. Ah, against the state, I'm going to break it, take their money. No, you don't steal from anyone. You're not stealing from a guy, so from the state you can steal. Another story also happened with David HaMelech. In those days, there was a little fence around David HaMelech over there, inside. And people used to come and throw their money there. And the state used to take the money and use it for whatever they want. Some guys asked Rav Shmuel, could we take the money when they don't see and use it for other things? So he said, no. Someone who steals from them will come to steal somewhere else. Don't steal. You can't call yourself your nefesh to steal. Rav Shmuel had a whole war against Hebrew. Not to speak Hebrew. Hebrew, he said, is something that the state took it and is using it for, they took Lashon HaKodesh and made it into Hebrew and they use it for bad things. And he made sure that his children, his grandchildren, they don't speak Hebrew, not even with the children of their neighbors. So they don't know Hebrew, they don't know Yiddish, they'll learn.
So they would speak Yiddish?
Yeah. There's a lot of new words that they changed and they put in. And that caused also a lot of Jews through the Hebrew, especially in Europe, to go off to the.
I heard they feel like cursive words mean opposite meanings and original Hebrew meaning.
All kinds of things, but the main thing was that it causes Jews to go off. This is an opinion. I'm not saying the Slani Rebbe and the Guru Rebbe said no. Hebrew is a good language, and their chassidim speak Hebrew, not Yiddish. Also Yiddish, but they speak Hebrew. You speak regular Hebrew, and in the Shir and the Gemara and stuff, in Torah they speak in Yiddish. In Slonim, I think they speak only Hebrew. But here in Yerushalayim, they're very much till today. My kids, they live in the Cheder, where they don't speak Hebrew. I still don't speak Hebrew in the Cheder. Only, they are hold of this.
Only Yiddish?
They have Hebrew words in there. They speak Yiddish.
But they understand it.
Yeah, right. Most of them, when their kids less, when they grow, they live in the country. So they're like in America, they don't learn English in school of Hasidim, but when they grow up, eventually they do learn, they have one class a week or something. Even in the Hasidim, they have to, from the state or something.
Right.
The law, but it's a joke, they don't really learn anything. Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld said, the Rav of Eretz Yisrael, he said, If the Zionists would have decided that the Yiddish would be the language, we wouldn't have spoken Yiddish, just not to be with them.
That's it.
Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zev used to say that Lashon HaKodesh is like wine. It's like wine. When someone, when a guy touches it, it becomes us. So when the Zionists touch the language, so, Amano, we don't speak it anymore. His daughter, Robertson Frank, here she lives here, she said, when I used to say hello goodbye to my friends, I used to say shalom and leitraot. My father used to say, why in Hebrew? Why are you contaminating your mouth? He did speak Hebrew with people who didn't know. Also, one of the main things why they wanted to separate it, they wanted Dafka to speak Yiddish, to separate completely from what's going on in the States. We're not part of them, we're separated, zeo. We don't speak the language, we don't dress like them, we don't interact with them, we don't take money from them, we don't anything, no interaction with them. We have our Jewish life and they can do whatever they want. Certain attitude. He asked his family not to live only in Yerushalayim, not to leave Yerushalayim. You're going to leave Yerushalayim, you're going to go off. Today is different a little bit. In Beit Shemesh, there are also these big groups from Yerushalayim, which they live together. They have shuls and everything. In those days, if you left Yerushalayim, when he had one of his family members, he left Yerushalayim to live somewhere else. He says, Chaval, Chaval. Maybe more evenly because they're going to speak Hebrew now.
Well, they didn't.
What?
They never imagined the Jews couldn't live in Yerushalayim. That they would be pushed out. The Jews have been pushed out in Yerushalayim.
Yeah.
So, they had to go somewhere else to live.
No, we're not talking about then.
What?
But after the state was established.
I know.
Jews lived here.
What?
Jews lived here.
Do I live here?
Jews lived here.
Jews live here, but there's no building. There's no new housing. You just take the same building and you just keep squeezing more people into it.
Eventually it,
you know,
yeah, but there. Look now, expanded and expanded. And also, it's true, now it's impossible because it's so many Jews. So many.
There's only so much space and everything is expensive. And
Yeah, and families. It's true. Very limited incomes. Yeah, it's just true. Your Satna. I'll tell you a story about Satna. I'll stop here with you. I'll tell you a story. There was a guy.